those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Glory be to God.
When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Well, good evening, Sunrise. Isn't it fun to finally be here? No more Christmas shopping. No more Christmas lines. How about that? Amen. Time to just relax and enjoy worshiping Jesus. Let me tell you, I am so excited about tonight, and I know that some of you are kids, so I want to speak to you for just a moment. If you're a kid and you brought your parent or your grandparent, way to go, because they need to go to church. It's good for them to be in church, and yet sometimes they can get bored at church. I know. Go figure. It's just a weird thing. So I want you to know, if you're a kid and you brought an adult with you, you can share your coloring book and your crayons. And they will love that. So keep an eye on them and help them, because that might help them stay engaged. You know, the other thing you can do is you can tell them some corny Christmas jokes. Did you bring your corny Christmas jokes? You didn't? You did. Oh, good. You've got some material. Well, listen, in case some of our little friends didn't, I've got you covered. Let me share some corny Christmas jokes you can tell the adult that you brought if they kind of phase out a little bit. Ready? What do elves learn in school? What? They learn the alphabet. What else? Come on. Oh, my gosh. You guys, that was a little bit of a golf clap right there. Yeah. Oh, man, I think you want some more of that. Yeah, okay. So in what way is the Christmas alphabet different than the normal alphabet? Well, in the Christmas alphabet, there's no L. Yeah, you know that. Okay. We've got some fast learners over here. You know, being a snowman looks easy. It's not. They're highly compensated. You know where snowmen keep their money? In the snowbank. That's where they put it, right there. Yeah. And after all their work, you know where the snowmen spend their weekend and what they do? They just chill out. That's what they do. Hey, I love this season, and so if you're taking care of an adult, just do the best you can. And I'm just so excited to be with you. I love everything about Christmas. I love the songs and the celebration, the family time, the food. I got to keep this moving because we are hosting Christmas Eve at my house today. And we're having tamales and Mexican hot chocolate, and it's going to be awesome. So this will continue to flow, I guarantee you. What we're celebrating is that centuries ago, into a dark, divided, and fallen world, God sent His only Son to be light. The Bible said, in Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, I imagine for most of us, the Christmas story is pretty familiar. But I also think that if we're honest, when we reflect on it, we will find some unlikely characters. In Luke's account, it includes the phrase describing flocks at night. He's talking there about goats and sheep. You might know that sheep are not real smart. Sheep easily get lost. They are virtually defenseless. They're not very resourceful. And sheep, against their best interest, are actually inclined to follow one another right into danger. They're absolutely dependent on someone else for their well-being. Against the forces of this world, sheep alone don't fare very well. Luke also says that first Christmas there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks. Deep in your heart, isn't there something that just kind of goes out to the shepherds? They're kind of the underdogs of the story. They occupied the lowest rung on the social ladder at their time. Their work was dangerous and it was dirty. They grew up in a culture where water was scarce and with a religious backdrop through Judaism that really prized cleanliness, and they weren't cleanly at all. Pharisees at that time identified jobs that were unworthy of people, and being a shepherd was on the list. Shepherds were actually not allowed inside the synagogue. Their word was inadmissible in a court of law. Shepherds did not enjoy a great reputation. And as I was reflecting on that, getting ready for this message, I kind of began to think, you know, I wonder if there's just a little bit more to shepherds. Because as we look throughout the pages of Scripture, the Bible tells us that some really important men were shepherds. Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and his sons, Moses and David, all of these guys were shepherds. If you think about it, being a shepherd would require some courage to protect sheep from weather, from lions, from bears and wolves. It would require some diligence to search out for pasture and water that could take a shepherd far from his home. It required endurance, enduring harsh weather, meager food, and almost no lodging at all. And it would require still yet great sensitivity to those who were struggling, expectant ewes, a newborn lamb, and the sick. And yet, also, shepherding was important because up in Jerusalem, about 5 or 6 miles from where this story occurred with these shepherds, there was a temple in Jerusalem. And at that temple, they did sacrifices. And those sacrifices required sheep, perfect sheep, no bruises, no cuts, no problems. So a shepherd had to be strong, and a shepherd had to be selfless. I guess over time, shepherds became a little bit like their sheep. And maybe that's where they acquired their unfortunate reputation. Anyhow, in the middle of a night, while those shepherds were on their watch, you might say working the night shift, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Light, as bright as God's own glory. It stunned them. It dazzled them. They had never seen anything like it. No human had ever seen anything like it. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." My friend, Christmas is about God loving people like you and people like me who have done nothing to deserve that love. It's God erasing sin from your past. It's God giving you a new start, a new hope, a new direction in life. So no matter where you're coming from today, I want you to know that God did something at Christmas through Jesus that can bring you great joy. And unless I miss my guess, joy may have been in short supply for some of us this year. There has been darkness in our land. In 2017, we have witnessed some horrible hurricanes, some devastating fires. Unspeakable violence has broken out time and again in our country. Social turmoil. The Pittsburgh Steelers even lost to the New England Patriots. How about that? Still can't get over that one. In all seriousness, the truth is that the light of God can dispel any darkness in our land, any darkness in you and me. One of the questions I want to ask you tonight is, have you accepted the light of Jesus Christ in your life? That's something you can do tonight. You know, when I read this story, to be honest with you, I kind of wonder why the shepherds even appear at all. They seem so secondary to me. I mean, obviously, Mary and Joseph are really central as, parents to Jesus. And King Herod, he's important. He's the king of the land. It makes sense that he is in the story. The Magi are sort of exotic. They're wealthy travelers coming hundreds of miles. Why are there shepherds in this story? It might just be that baby born in a manger had a destiny. And then it turns out that little baby would be a shepherd too. You know, he started on society's lowest rung. His first day was in the feeding trough of a cow. From the get-go, his life endangered by a crazed and murderous king. People smeared his reputation. They misunderstood him at every point along his life. But he was from a chosen line. There were ancient prophecies from centuries earlier that predicted his birth and his life. He courageously faced down his accusers. He diligently taught people God's truth. He fed people what they needed. He endured an itinerant life, healing from village to village to village. He showed the greatest sensitivity to the most vulnerable, to the outcast and to the discouraged and to the sick. He was strong, and yet he was selfless. He became just like us, for us. And at the very end, when the powers that be and the people demanded a sacrifice, he provided one. A spotless Passover lamb. No sin. His very life. There's just one reason he did that. It's because we're sheep. Now, I know that none of us would want to admit that. That's not exactly what we post about ourselves on social media or our LinkedIn account. With our smartphones and fast cars and big houses, steady jobs and growing families, we don't really think of ourselves as sheep. But consider this. I was reading through some letters to Santa that have been written by young people in Christmases past, and one drew my attention. It goes like this. Dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. And there is Norman, he is 7. David is good some of the time. Jeffrey is good some of the time, but Norman is good all the time. And I am Norman. Isn't there a little bit of Norman in all of us? Wanting to view ourselves as a little bit better than. But we're not. We're sheep. The Bible, David wrote, we all like sheep have gone astray. And it might be tempting to think, you know, Derek, David wrote that a long time ago, and we have come a long way after all. I mean, now we have the internet. And I might offer, poking a little fun here at the guys in the room, a little bit of evidence about some of the crazy things we get ourselves into. Take a look at the screens. How about this guy figuring out, that's what I'll do. I'll use a crane and a mower like that, and I'll just take care of that. Do you wonder where that guy's wife is, you know? How about these guys? They're set up for a shocking experience, right? This guy is on a skyscraper cleaning a window, because heaven forbid you'd have a dirty window, right? Do you wonder which one of these guys convinced the other guy? And how about this one? What could possibly go wrong, right? I love this. Hey, just trust us. We'll take care of you. There are a couple of wives in the room saying, I've got some material for you. The truth is, upon reflection, any one of us could admit, hey, I've been in some situations that later I thought back and said to myself, what was I thinking? We get ourselves into such fixes with our money and our family, with our jobs, with our health. We need help. So I'm just asking you tonight, is Jesus your shepherd? He wants to be. He can be. He deserves to be. Psalm 23 is probably one of the favorite sections of Scripture for lots of people. David wrote there, the Lord is my shepherd. Yet just think about this. If we remove that shepherd from our lives, here's how Psalm 23 would come across. I lack me. My soul, me. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear evil. Me. In the presence of mine enemies, my head, my cup, me, all the days of my life. That's a life without Jesus as a shepherd. Life wasn't meant to be lived without a shepherd. Someone said, if a child and a cynic walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the cynic focuses on the darkness, but the child focuses on her shepherd. How about you? How are you walking through the days of your life? Not too long ago, I was in the country of Jordan with some people from Sunrise. And we had an afternoon stop, and an actual shepherd came along with hundreds of sheep. And he just shepherded his sheep right around us, and we got an up-close and personal experience with those sheep. It was remarkable how they would just follow him. And, you know, they would even go to a watering hole, and those sheep would mix in with other sheep from other shepherds, and they would just be indistinguishable to you and me. But the shepherds would never worry when they were ready to go. With just a word or a whistle or a trill, they would call their sheep, and their sheep would follow them. Those sheep know who they belong to. They know their shepherd's voice. My friend, Christmas is God reminding you there is someone that you belong to. There's someone who sent for you, who called for you, someone who created you and who loves you, who's entered this world to rescue you, someone you can count on at the end of life to take you home. Luke put it this way, a Savior has been born to you. And you can invite him into your heart tonight as a Savior and a shepherd. Blessed and fortunate are those who have the help of Jesus Christ in this life and in the life to come. So it's Christmas Eve. There's no better way to celebrate Christmas than to make your heart Christ's home. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to do that. It's a decision that I cannot make for you. It's a decision you have to make for yourself. But it's also a decision that no one can stop you from making. It's a decision that I made years and years ago in my life, and I've never regretted it. It's the decision of the folks you've seen leading us into worship on the platform tonight. It's the decision that makes every other decision in life so much better. I would encourage you to make that decision tonight. So would you close your eyes and would you bow your head? This Christmas, Jesus Christ wants to give you a gift, His very self, His care, His sacrifice, His strength. Would you join me in praying? Jesus, I know I've failed You. There are areas of my life that just make me cringe. There's things other people know about. There's things nobody knows about. Of course, You know, Lord. So please forgive my sin and come into my life. Be my shepherd. Transform me. Grow me to be more like You. And if that is your prayer tonight, would you simply raise your hand and keep it raised to say, I am saying yes to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. Raise your hand and keep it raised tonight to say, I'm saying yes to Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. Jesus, thank You for touching these lives tonight. Thank You for being the one who can pay the price for each of our sin. I pray, Jesus, You would bless and encourage, that You would undertake to care for each one of these precious souls. We thank You for being our good shepherd, for caring for us as we need to be cared for. And all God's people said,